This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Well, good morning. Today in the church calendar marks Christ the King Sunday. It's a feast day that was first instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius XI in the Catholic Church, and then it was later adopted by other denominations, and that's why we celebrate it here today. But it was first marked to remind Christians that Christ reigns as king in response to the growing threats of fascism and atheism in Europe following World War I. Governments and regimes were crumbling and shifting, and world leaders were beginning to claim authority that belonged only to God. So this Sunday was meant to remind us that Christ reigns eternal, even as governments rise and fall. It's also meant to challenge our understanding of, and even our idolatry of, earthly power and control, to remind us that salvation doesn't come from worldly leaders. As I was preparing for today, this seemed like an especially important reminder for our current environment. Notice in the gospel how Jesus shifts Pilate's emphasis from the more local or tribal to the universal. When Pilate asks Jesus if he is king of the Jews, Jesus responds, "My kingdom is not from this world." Jesus' emphasis is not solely on the Jewish people, nor even on the affairs of the world. Jesus is concerned with the heavenly, the eternal, the divine. Worldly kingdoms and people and rulers will come and go. Yet Jesus is offering belonging to a kingdom that will live on into eternity. Notice, too, that Jesus doesn't ask his followers to fight for a worldly kingdom. Jesus doesn't fight for this worldly kingdom either. What matters, what ultimately matters, is what is eternal and divine. Our emphasis is continually focused up to the heavens. And my hope is that we too might hear this reminder to reorient ourselves to eternal matters and to worry less about things that are temporal and that will pass away. I know that it's easy to be overwhelmed with the battles and the contests of the world, to fall for the belief that eternal matters are somehow impacted by earthly leaders, to fall for the belief that eternal matters are decided by presidents or even political parties. The kingdom of God doesn't win or lose elections. Our eternal life and our identity as God's beloved isn't changed by worldly or political affairs. In fact, Jesus in the Gospel of John isn't presented as the ultimate victim of the actions of the Jews or of Pilate. In the end, we hear in John chapter 19 that it's Jesus who gave up or hands over his spirit. It's Jesus, not the earthly powers, who exercise control over life and death. The crucifixion in this way declares Jesus' reign as a different type of king. Rulers of the world take power through force or domination, but Jesus chooses not to fight and doesn't allow his followers to either. Jesus doesn't even present a particularly strong defense, because the ultimate victory is eternal and heavenly, and it's not established in worldly terms. I think we're meant to ask ourselves where we are placing our trust and our allegiance. Which kingdom receives our loyalty and our emphasis? Are we relying on temporal and worldly matters? Are we placing our hope and our trust in mortal, infallible leaders? Have we forgotten that as Christians, we know the end of the story and where our fate and our souls ultimately reside? Now, I don't want to sound too Pollyanna this morning. I understand that our worldly lives are impacted by the decisions of our government and our leaders. But it's clear that Jesus doesn't ask his followers to fight on his behalf. Jesus doesn't need us to establish Christ's reign. we aren't ultimately responsible for bringing about the kingdom of God. We're given one commandment. We're asked to do one thing, and it speaks to belonging and to community, not to power or control. We're asked to love the Lord your God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Jesus tells Pilate, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And what do we hear Jesus say in the Gospel of John? But that we are enough, that we are brought into the relationship and the love between God and Jesus. We're told that God loves the world and sent his only Son to save the world. We're offered belonging and community. But we're surrounded by so much fear and hate and division that we can all begin to believe the lie that either we don't belong or that we're under attack. And this places us in a protective or a reactive stance where we look inward and we lose sight of what is divine and eternal. Fear and isolation, I believe, are at the root cause of so many of the issues that divide and that separate us from each other. Social media and elections and the media then feed on and intensify our fears and our divisions, and they fuel this constant fight for power and control. But the only counter to fear and isolation is love and belonging. We can't fall victim to the false belief that power and domination are the solutions to our own problems or to the problems of the world. Only love and connection can drive out fear. Jesus' kingship is fully revealed and established, after all, in the crucifixion. It's achieved through sacrifice and love, not through power or political domination. Our allegiance lies within the kingdom of God and not with the rulers of the world. So as we prepare for Advent and we await the arrival of the baby Jesus, let us all heed this reminder to reject the fear and the divisions of the world and to choose love and service and sacrifice. When the world asks us to live in fear or in isolation, or when we feel the urge to fight for power or control, I hope that we can instead choose love, love of God, love of neighbor, and remember that our true faith and our true hope lies in the kingdom of God and in the reign of Christ. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.